Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the second hour of The Light of Day. We're live Saturday night, November 13th, 2010. This is the 34th show I've done now on Orion. You folks may want to check out a huge sinkhole that opened up in front of the Brookings City Hall. I believe that's up in New York. But that happened, it was posted on Tuesday. I believe it happened Tuesday. It's somewhat of a, well, it's not too small. It's maybe a medium to, maybe a medium-sized sinkhole. Back to what I was saying before the top of the hour, John Moore's show is on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And Micro 1650 carries John Moore's show during the first hour. So you might want to keep that in mind. Another development for the Orion Talk Network here is we're going to be increasing our bit rate for our stream from 48 to 64. So I have to reflect the changes on my own website for that. So that'll increase the sound quality a little bit. You will notice a difference. And you folks may want to stay tuned. I'm going to wrap up these sound bites. I'll probably go into the bottom of the hour here. When I get into my commentary and articles and that, I wanted to read something here. It has to do with what's really going on with the NASA shuttle astronauts and that, what's really going on with them. It's pretty interesting. I have it here on a notepad, to read to you folks. Well, we're gonna get right back to these sound bites. This next one I'm gonna play here. Is a collation of various things that Professor Jim McCaney has said about Planet X. So we'll get back to the sound bites. Please enjoy, folks.
We are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system. And there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X. There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. There's an indication that we have from many factors. I've watched comets coming in from the southern region of the solar system, hitting the sun, causing tremendous solar flaring, and the indication from all that we're seeing is that there is a big object moving into the solar system from the south. The point is that we know for a fact from observing other incidents that the astronomy community is not going to tell you about an impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. We know there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
This past week, four comets came into the sun and crashed into it.
My personal study deals with what I call extra solar system objects. Some are big, some are small, but there's no question that there are hundreds, possibly thousands of these objects which come into our solar system periodically and then go out in a long orbit. Some may have a 100,000-year orbit. We saw one last February 2003, which we now call Comet Neat B1, which had a 33,000-year orbit, a very large object that came very near the sun, was tremendously large and affected the sun. This is the other thing, is that comets have the ability to affect the energy output of the sun. When that happens, we then get severe weather on Earth. So there's many aspects to the effects that these large comets can have on the solar system and on planet Earth. But the bottom line is, comets are not dirty snowballs.
We know the governments are seeing it, but the question is for us, what are they seeing? Most likely this is a large object with a group of satellites, a mini constellation, but it could be a comet. It could just simply be a massive rock. It could be any number of things. What we do know is it is big, it has mass, and it has the ability to perturb the sun electrically. When this flyby happens, this is going to be a slow-motion train wreck for a long time. You know, you're going to run out of those supplies, and it's going to be catch-as-catch-can, and you're going to have to work together with other people to build survival communities.
Planet X is coming around. Happens every 3,600 years, so it's not going to strike the Earth, and we're going to get tidal fluctuations and flooding on the inland coastal areas, and that's why these guys are building all their underground stuff.
The UV readings on the Earth are just, you know, going off the charts. I don't know if you know that, but especially this summer. I mean, it is actually dangerous to be outside in 95% of the United States right now. And I mean highly dangerous. The UV readings are off the charts. It is outrageous. What they were scaling at 5 years ago is now double that right now. And they're really not telling anybody. And yeah, it goes up to 14 because they never even hit 10 5 years ago. And now the whole entire southern half of the United States and Mexico is at 10. And they don't have anything higher. And so they have to raise it higher. And because there's no way you can get an accurate measurement of the UV. And this is all part of the whole thing. You know, all the planets in the solar system are heating up right now. It's not just the Earth.
We saw the launch for the first Gulf War. The incursion was actually called Operation Planet X. That's what the code name for the incursion was.
Folks, I'm back. Boy, I'm having problems here. I had to switch CD players tonight. I got a brand new CD player out from Radio Shack and brand new batteries inside the god darn thing. And sure enough, the batteries only lasted maybe about an hour. Can you believe that? One frickin' hour. Unbelievable. So I'm having to, I had to put more new batteries inside the CD player, and I got to get back into the middle of the track that I was playing. It's just unreal. I mean, everything you buy today is nothing but crap. So I got to go back to, I was in track number 11 and we got 15 tracks. I'm pretty upset. I mean, this is just ridiculous. You get a brand new CD player out of the package here for the radio show, and I put brand new batteries in, and now I gotta go hunt for where I was just at. Anyway, this is the light of day, of course. This is show number 34, and I'm Sheldon Day, your fabulous host. This is amateur radio at its best, I must say. I manually have the CD player here, and I got to advance it to about 2 minutes into where I was. Boy, this just irritates me. You know, I'm just going to eat the time up. The breaks, you know, I only have like 9 or 10 minutes between the breaks here. Anyway, I'm advancing to the track as I speak. We'll get it back on. This is a pretty good MP3 soundbite of the Death Star that I created. Gonna get it plugged in here. Just hang on, folks, so I can plug the CD player back in. Well, I'm still working on it, of course. You know, this just figures. It's just ridiculous. I gotta go out and get brand new batteries again.
We know the government.
But I'm working on it. You're listening to the Light of Day, Orion. You folks might want to go check out the huge sinkhole that formed in front of the Brookings City Hall. I believe that's up in New York. That happened on Tuesday.
We know the governments are seeing it, but...
I've also posted some of Richard from Canada. He's on my email list. I've posted some of his Planet X videos on my homepage and also on my film subpage.
But
you may want to check those out. I have a number of them posted there, and I have there's going to be more that I'll
group of satellites, a mini
posting as Richard produces those.
It could just simply be a massive.
Okay, well, I'm just about there, folks. Boy, this just aggravates me to death. It just ruins the show when you have to play something made from China. I mean, it's almost impossible to find anything made in the USA anymore. Anyway, I'm going about 2 minutes into track number 11 because that's where I had left off. And we'll be there in just a second. Stay tuned here, folks. This is Light of Day, show number 34 on Orion. Okay, back to the soundbite. Let's try it. I don't know what's going on here, folks. I'm just about ready to rip my hair out, I tell you. Here I got the CD player. I pressed the play button, and it's just, you know, it's not elapsing for me. It's just frozen up on me. And I got the CD player on play, but it's not playing. It's just frozen on me. Brand new CD player from Radio Shack, a GPX, and, you know, I press play, and it's just... it won't unpause for me for some bizarre reason. Oh, my God, I don't believe this. You know, I got a package of these batteries from Radio Shack, too. You know, you get like 40 in a package for like $11 or $12 when they're on sale. I bet you almost the whole case is shot. I mean, they sell them new, but they're probably only supposed to last you for about an hour, maybe. Oh, I'm really having trouble here. I think I'm going to have to fix this after we come out of the break. You know, it's always something, always something. Anyway, we'll get in articles, and I'll try to fix this while the break, when the break is going on. Well, let's see. We have about, we got about maybe a minute here until break. Press pauses. I'm getting a Skype message here. Okay, we got about 2.5 minutes until the break. Thanks, sir, Jimmy. Got my network guy there. Tell me when the break's coming up. Okay, well, I had a great write-up I'm going to read here. I'll just read something else because that break's going to kick in pretty quick. NASA announces televised Chandra news conference. In other words, NASA is announcing an incoming object on Monday during a televised news conference NASA will hold a news conference at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday to discuss the Chandra X-ray Observatory's discovery of an exceptional object in our cosmic neighborhood. Well, if you folks go to my homepage, you'll see I have two side-by-side images there posted, which are Chandra X-ray images of Planet X from 1985 and from 2008. The one taken in 1985 was taken by the Very Large Array Telescope platform in, I believe that's just outside Socorro, New Mexico, if I'm correct. And the 2008 image on the right there shows the image taken of Planet X by the Chandra 2 years ago. So you folks might want to tune in the NASA television and see what they have to say about this on Monday. Well, we're just about ready to come into the break. We're live Saturday night, November 13th, 2010. We'll be back. You're listening live, Dan Orion. Stay tuned. I got it working, folks, but I can only play the CD player. It won't let me pause it anymore, so let's try to get this wrapped up here.
The incursion was actually called Operation Planet X. That's what the code name for the incursion was.
Professor McKinney agrees with myself, and he and I are in agreement that we don't have until 2012 before Earth changes, basically shut down normal commerce as we know it. And there's no specific date. It's a time frame. And the time frame starts getting a lot more dangerous, shall we say, beginning in January of 2010. It will be an incremental matter with more frequent and more violent weather-related events, more frequent and more violent seismic events, volcanism, and, of course, rising ocean levels at some point.
Again, I maintain that what this is, it's probably a T-class or now-class series brown dwarf star. It's basically the second heaviest body in the solar system. It is part of the solar system. It doesn't come into and go out of the solar system. It's the second heaviest body in the solar system.
You know, I asked my source about these chemtrails, because, you know, I thought they're urban legend, and she thinks that they're coating the skies to protect us from these solar flares. And I don't believe they're spraying us to kill us, to poison us, and all that garbage. Or say it's something to do with HARP. And I think they are coding this guy.
Well, government continuity of government contingency planning has to be done in 1 month, December 31st, 2009. They've been at this for 30 years, since 1979, getting ready for the horrendous, violent earth changes that are coming. It's only been it's not quite 2 years that I started to even comprehend the effects of a coronal mass ejection. As I was scratching my head for years, I thought, why in the world is the federal government spending all this money for these very expensive underground complexes? When you start building underground, ladies and gentlemen, you basically triple or quadruple the price of your construction, maybe more. I haven't seen the numbers. But it's a massive increase in cost per square foot. That's what they've been doing for 30 years now. Always kind of lingering in the background. Earth changes. Violent, abrupt climate change. Dramatic increases in volcanism. Dramatic increases in seismic activity. And eventually, violently, rapidly rising ocean levels. Eventually. No, it will not happen January 1st, 2010. This will be a matter of months, probably a couple of years, as things grow increasingly worse with these matters. You'll know what to look for. You'll see these things happening. When it comes to something that's important, you need to do some homework. Put these Google searches in there to find the government press releases about what they're doing, moving critical infrastructure away from these oceans and into the middle of the country. Critical infrastructure, especially the intelligence agencies, military, the libraries for the EPA, the library for the Vatican being moved as we speak. All these things are right there on my DVD, and you can find the official press releases announcing it. People love credentials. How about supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office in Washington, D.C. at the United States Naval Observatory? Maybe the most important 10 minutes of video you ever see in your life. If you're going to draw a paycheck for looking at stars, that's about as serious credentials as a human being on this planet could ever hope to have. Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory. And when he granted this interview, that's exactly what he was, talking about the 10th planet. Talking about the 10th planet as a matter of scientific fact, not scientific speculation, giving its size, its density, and its orbit. Time is short. I don't have a specific date. We have a time frame. Basically, from now forward.
What we learned as a result of following this disinformation that is flooding the world from out of London is that Planet X is not behind the sun, as Nancy Leader says. That Planet X is not out where people think it is with these hoax addresses on the Sky programs, like Wicca Sky and what have you. What they were doing was, with disinformation, remember, you want to deflect attention, you want to distract people, because it's not about being right or wrong. It's irrelevant to disinformation. It is about exhausting people's attention. They have a limited interest span. So what you do is you piddle it away with pointless, just keep them, taking them down rabbit holes, and they're finally going to walk away from the field. And that's what they're doing. So what do? They stampede everybody towards the sun with bogus cell phone photos. Then they go to Soho, and they're finding aberrations on Soho. Soho, if Planet X is out there and Soho is seeing it, it's not going to see it in one little isolated frame out of thousands of frames taken in a day. You're going to see it and see it and see it and see it and see it. Folks wised up. We started seeing a lot of YouTubers out there going, hey, we're sick of this nonsense. So then they switched direction. They took everybody 180 degrees in the other direction. And they took them out to Orion with lost star panels and what have you. I mean, the sky databases are hopelessly corrupted by the elites, hopelessly corrupted. So they're just, for Planet X, they're useless. All you're going to find there is black squares and things that are just going to take you down rabbit holes. There was an astronomer by the name of Harrington, and he was the Naval Observatory in Washington. And he developed an entire theory for Planet X and where he could spot it. Harrington went to New Zealand, and Harrington then, at a very specific time, very specific place, took his own telescope. He had an 8-inch telescope, as we recall. And he went to make observations of Planet X. And after he returned, he died a sudden, mysterious death of esophageal cancer. What was the real hallmark for us, the real indicator, was the obituary, which was written anonymously. and went to great lengths to say he was deeply disappointed by his own failings in his inability to find his fabled Planet X. Mm-hmm. Here is a man of great achievement. Why attack his work in an obituary?
Okay, folks. Well, that
this that, one's been out there.
Yeah, that concludes the. Oh, wait.
Planet X, Wormwood, the dark body star, the Death Star, mm-hmm. is not a planet. It's not a planet. It doesn't orbit in the ecliptic plane or even in the Kuiper Belt, which approximates the.
She died one winter. When there came a killing frost. And the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost. She ran calling Wildfire. She ran calling Wildfire. She ran calling.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day and Orion, live Saturday night at November 13th, 2010. Well, we only had one track left there that I was trying to play in that soundbite, but I'm just going to bypass that. Actually, I found out it might not have been the new CD player. Apparently, I took the batteries out, which are double A's, and I tested them during the break here. And, you know, brand new batteries are supposed to be 1.56 volts. Well, I put these brand new Radio Shack batteries on my multi-tester, and they only show 1.35. Now, that's about where it should be at when the battery goes totally dead. So Radio Shack is selling batteries that are garbage. I mean, when they have these, you get like 40 of them in a plastic package. They're like, I don't know, $10 to $13. Well, I just wonder how many more out there are already dead. I'll be testing them tomorrow. Boy, it just pisses me off. I'm going to be complaining to Radio Shack about this. If any of you folks want to know, try to avoid these batteries. They're called Enercell Alkalines, double A's. They sell them at Radio Shack. Anyway, I'm not going to waste my time on those idiots. We got news to cover here. Okay. Why is Russia building 5,000 nuclear bomb shelters? I got this in an email from at least two or three separate people. Russia certainly seems to be in a hurry to prepare for something. RT, whoever in the heck that is reporting that 5,000 new nuclear bomb shelters will be constructed in the city of Moscow by the end of 2012. Russian authorities believe that these new shelters are urgently needed because the current nuclear bomb shelters will only hold approximately half the population and are quite outdated. In addition, there are apparently very few nuclear bomb shelters for those living outside the city center at this point. Officials want virtually the entire population of Moscow to shelter within a matter of minutes. But in this era, when the Cold War is supposed to be over, why are 5,000 nuclear bomb shelters such an urgent necessity? And I'm reading this off of disclose.tv. And then we got something here about space weather. This was posted on science.nasa.gov on November 8th. Prompted by a recent increase in solar activity, more than 100 researchers and government officials are converging on over in Egypt to discuss a matter of global importance. Storms from the Sun, the first workshop of the International Space Weather Initiative, meets November 6th through the 10th and is convened by the United Nations, NASA, and the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. Strong solar storms can knock out power, disable satellites, and scramble GPS, says meeting organizer Joe Davila of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Quote, this meeting will help us prepare for the next big event. And that article goes on and on. So, you know, we've had repeated warnings about solar storms, and I think John DiNardo is going to end up being correct in his prediction about solar scorching, which is depicted in the movie Knowing, which I highly recommend you folks go get and check out. You may want to go to Freeman's website. I can't remember the URL, but if you go to his Space War news section, he's got some great information I was checking out today about Planet X-related information. That's Freeman. He's actually a talk show host on the Orion Talk Network. let's see. Gordon Gianni Noto, I think that's how you pronounce it. He's on my email list. He talks a lot about Planet X. He'll be a guest on the Coast to Coast AM show this upcoming Thursday night for 3 hours, so be sure to tune into that. Try to ignore the Zeta stuff, though, because I think that's just it's propaganda designed to diminutize the subject of Planet X so people just look at it as a totally ridiculous topic. I think there's an agenda, by the way, at the Coast to Coast AM radio show, because I notice they only carry guests on Planet X that'll mix the ET stuff in with it. And this is sort of a red flag to me, because I don't think Planet X is inhabited. Gilbert Erickson was on Gianni Hayes' show again on Wednesday night. I have that posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, so you might want to check out that interview. Yeah, it was a pretty religious-oriented interview. I tended not to like it, but it's there for your perusal if you want to check it out. And the write-up I wanted to read here, I'm not going to mention who wrote this, but I'll just read it for what it's worth. I got it from Gordon on November 11th. Hello, it is seeping out gradually, little by little, a story so large, so big it cannot be contained in the halls of Congress, in the secretive agencies, in the media, boardrooms, in the homes and workplaces. A question, a whisper, a glance, an acknowledgement, and for most, a secret too terrible to contemplate. We are all on the verge of everything changing, changing forever, and we cannot, should not put the genie back in the bottle. In order to make way for the new, the old has to be swept away. You are an old soul. You were born on a planet and will live and die on a planet. But if you are an eternal soul, all of your lifetimes are like grains of sand on an endless beach. Nothing that is you will ever be lost. It cannot be lost, will not be lost, and you will be back better than ever forever. So who is on the front lines? Our astronauts, folks. They go up into space and they see with their own eyes that Planet X is out there. They see the tail with hundreds of large moons, thousands of smaller moons, and clouds of rocks, hydrocarbons, and iron ore dust. They know the tail is made of twin strands rippling so that Planet X appears like a bird wheeling in the sky, like the 18,000-year-old glyph in Bolivia warning it will come again. They know the rocks from the tail have swept through the solar system and are flying free into our atmosphere. You know that instead of scheduled meteor showers, rocks are burning up in our skies like never before. If you are in a spaceship and a speck of dust the size of the head of a pin hits your ship at 17,500 miles an hour like the space shuttle, or perhaps 40,000 miles an hour, you are done. Finished. It's over. Astronauts are rigid people. They follow checklists and rules. They are used to being in command and in control. The ground controllers have the same personalities. You start at the top, and step by step, you move through your list, and operations are sequential and automatic. You are an elite bunch, and you keep to yourselves. Everything you learn now, you are prohibited from telling your spouse, your family, your friends. You can only talk to those with whom you work, and you grow closer to them and lose touch with everyone else. Your coworkers become an extension of your personality, and if they are in danger, you are in danger. You must protect each other. You must confide in each other. If you don't, then you have nothing. By the way, folks, Kathy O'Brien, that mind control sex slave lady, she talks about these mind control facilities at the NASA Center, so you might want to check her book out. It's called Transformation of America. First, it was alien starships seen and recorded, then alien ruins and archaeology plainly created by extraterrestrials millennia ago. Then it was reports of ET technology, and finally you were handed up devices gotten only from off the Earth. But then you saw and recorded a new planet entering the solar system, and you found out that the Earth is about to go through pole shift, and nearly everyone will die who does not save themselves. Then you learn the government has only plans to cover up every detail. You learn that your agency has known the truth for over 50 years and that everyone except the elite leaders are expendable. Then the agency is taken apart and new projects are canceled because there is no problem after the pole shift. Then the elite managers above you are relocated to new states and given safe homes and gated communities. And you are told that you will stay on the job in a location certain to be washed clean by tidal surges, and you are told your work is to be put is to put your friends, your only confidants, your lovers and compatriots into harm's way on what is a Russian roulette suicide mission. And then you pull out a gun and lose it. You shout that you will not be part of the cover-up and you will not murder your friends by putting them in harm's way. And being expendable and powerless, you know nothing will change, and so you use your few minutes left to threaten and beg, and soon you will have a choice and will be to die or be locked up forever, separated from what little of importance the agency let you enjoy. By chance, CNN is there doing a story on the launch of the Shuttle Discovery on the second to last shuttle mission. You know they have a humanoid robot on it to test replacing astronauts with machines, and you know why. But this robot is cargo, not crew. There's nothing you can do, then it is over. CNN requests information on the gun incident and is told that a security exercise is in progress, but no security exercise is ever performed before live TV cameras without previous permission, explanation, and clearance. Then the announcement, a fuel leak has been found on the shuttle. As you are carted away, NASA plans to re-interview, test, and diagnose the entire launch and shuttle crews. Who can be launched? Who can be trusted? Will the replacements for you follow? Good night, folks. Later.